If you had turned on the radio in Charlotte in the 1930s, you may have heard something like this.
A new false heart says we must part.
That's Adieu, False Heart by the Arthur Smith Trio, recorded in Charlotte in 1938.
Charlotte is a city that has not paid a lot of attention to its history, and this country music history is part that's gotten lost.
That's Levine Museum of the New South historian Tom Hanchett. He's the go-to expert on Charlotte's history as a music town, a subject he stumbled upon by accident. After he moved here in the early 80s, someone said to him,
"Oh, do you know that Bill Monroe recorded here? Bill Monroe, the father of bluegrass, recorded here. Yeah, he made all his first records here."
For Hanchett, a lifelong folk music fan, it was a big deal.
It opened a door. And as the door opened more and more, I discovered that Charlotte in the 30s had been more important than Nashville as a country music recording center.
Charlotte had fewer than 100,000 people in the 20s, but the population was growing as people came to work in the booming textile industry. Those textile workers had something Hanchett says farmers in the South never had: money every Saturday night.
Because you got paid on Saturday.
With an audience that could pay and the ability to be heard for hundreds of miles on WBT radio, Charlotte became a major stop for bands touring the southern Piedmont. And hot on their heels were the record companies. Back then, they would do field recordings. Engineers would set up portable recording gear in the corner of a warehouse or a hotel room.
They would basically set up for a week, week and a half, and sometimes put flyers in the local paper to send out word, you know, come audition for Victor Records.
That's Nathan Salzberg, a music archivist and curator with the Association for Cultural Equity.
And this flushed out a lot of, as we know now, sort of the most seminal artists of the day.
The most famous of these field recordings was done in Bristol, Tennessee in 1927 by the Victor Talking Machine Company. That session marked the recording debuts of the legendary Carter family and Jimmy Rogers. That's why today Bristol is considered the birthplace of country music. A few days later, Victor set up the first recording session in Charlotte. Bluesman Luke Jordan was among those that recorded.
Well, the church bells are ringing, the secretary singing, the preacher's
Victor didn't find any stars this time, but they did come later on. The Carter family came in 1931. Bill Monroe made the first commercial recordings of his career in Charlotte in 36. Early country star Uncle Dave Macon came in 37 and 38. And many others came through, too. You may not have heard of them, but they were notable at the time. Zeke and Wiley Morris, the Tennessee Ramblers, and the Golden Gate Quartet, to name just a few. Things began to slow in the 40s, though. Musicians began to set their sights on Nashville instead because it had something Charlotte didn't have, a radio show that could be heard across the country.
From Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA, it's Grand Ole Opry time.
The record companies followed, and that's where the permanent recording studios were set up. Hanchett says Charlotte didn't try to fight it.
Charlotte was kind of ashamed. This was mill worker music. We wanted to be an uptown kind of place, and I wonder what would have happened if we'd hung on to that recording music.
Maybe Charlotte could have become Nashville. Imagine the streets of uptown lined with honky-tonks instead of banks. In 1985, organizers culled together some of the remaining musicians of the era who'd recorded in Charlotte and brought them to Spirit Square for 2 days of concerts. It was called the Charlotte Country Music Story. Today, there's little to remind residents of this chapter in Charlotte's history, save for a marker on South Tryon, where the building RCA Victor used for field recordings used to stand. And the music itself, most of which is still in print. For WFAE News, I'm Marshall Terry.